the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." Then he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in, because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though they were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Holy wisdom, holy word. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It seems like Easter was a long time ago, doesn't it? Many, many days. It's only been 28 days since that joyous morning. It was great to see the sanctuary so full. We were able to have a big circle all around the sanctuary with the pews in the middle and receive communion that way. We had on our finest clothing. The children were so excited. Nicole told a wonderful story about a lion and a mouse, which had a surprising ending, just like Easter itself. And Reverend Megan, she worked so hard to get us to focus on those places of suffering in our lives where a resurrection happens. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that day of abundance and goodness and grace? And now we're back to normal. This is just an ordinary, normal April Sunday. Yet it is still Eastertide. We have all this white and the flowers, and it reminds us we're in these weeks following Easter, 6 weeks, when Scripture focuses us on the resurrection appearances of Jesus. In today's text, we find the disciples very dispirited. Yeah, they could remember that Easter morning when the women came with the story of the empty tomb. They were disbelieving then. Someone must have stolen the body, they thought. I guess criminal activity happened in those days too. And then later that evening, two of the disciples came to report that they had seen Jesus on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know who he was until he broke bread with them and gave it to them. And that's when they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. There were more reports of other appearances. It was such a confusing time. They didn't know what to believe. Those days, they were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the reports that were going around of all the strange events that were occurring. They suspected that the authorities might come looking for them, thinking that they had hidden Jesus' body. And then Jesus appeared right before them. Even though the doors had been locked, He was able to enter the room where they were. Well, it sort of looked like Jesus. Was it really he? This time, when Jesus appeared, he ate with them. He also asked Thomas, one of the 12, to put his hand in his wounds because Thomas didn't believe that it was really Jesus. What to make of it all? It was such a perplexing time. So much had changed for these disciples. Their leader seemed gone, and yet he kept showing up when they least expected him. He looked so different now, they couldn't tell if it was really he. Sometimes he looked like a ghost, and his appearance made them nervous. I can't imagine the conversations that they were having among themselves. It was such an unsettling time, and they were fed up. They'd had enough of this uncertainty. They longed to return to normal times when life was not so bewildering. They wanted to get away from these strange and confusing incidents. So they decided to get out of Jerusalem and go back to their home in Galilee. And what did they plan to do back home? They wanted to go fishing. Fishing was something they knew about. It was familiar. They'd done it many times. They'd been fishermen before they left their nets to follow Jesus. In such uncertain times, they needed something that they knew, something predictable to calm themselves. As they pushed out from shore, they hoped to get a good catch, and they were prepared to spend the night in the boat, out at sea. But when morning came, their nets were empty. There were no fish to be caught that night. Turning back to shore, they were tired and disappointed, and there they saw a fire burning. And a man there asked them, "Did you catch any fish for breakfast?" They answered, "No." Then he said, "Well, put your nets down again on the other side of the boat and see what happens." What they thought, "This is crazy. We've been fishing all night and we didn't catch one fish. Now it's daylight. Fishing in daylight is not what we do. It's not normal. It's not the way we catch fish." But very reluctantly, they put their nets down again. And they were amazed. There were so many fish in their nets that they could hardly haul the load to shore. Their nets began to stretch, and they wondered, "Where did all these fish come from? Why couldn't we catch them during the night? And who is this stranger on the shore?" Then John shouted, "It's the Lord," and Peter jumped into the sea and swam to shore. The other disciples followed, and slowly they recognized that it was Jesus there among them, cooking breakfast for them. Then Jesus took bread and fed them and did the same with the fish, and they were able to eat together. They were so happy to be there with him in Galilee, just like old times. Well, maybe you've guessed where I'm going with this sermon. Maybe you've figured it out, that we are like those fisher folk. Yeah, we're back to our normal lives, aren't we? We've forgotten about the resurrection and our Easter celebration. What does it have to do with our everyday lives anyway? Like the disciples, we want rationality and familiarity. We are busy with our tasks of daily living. We get tired, yes, we get discouraged from working hard and seeing little results of our labor. We do hope for something better, yet it is hard to remember the excitement, the expectancy, the wonder of Easter morning. Why did it vanish so quickly? This story is about us. And Jesus is appearing again, right here at TAB in these days following Easter. Jesus is with us, and he is asking us to lower our nets into the sea again. He is asking all of us to put our nets down. You see, there's a call in this story, and the call involves all of us as disciples. Our call is about wanting to do something new and aspirational here at our church. It's about an adventure we want to embark upon, an adventure that is different from the things we normally do. And perhaps some of you might think that we're dreaming, that we got a lot of pipe dreams in our heads, hoping for something that's really impossible. And we might doubt and wonder, why do we need to make our church more welcoming? After all, welcoming is about people. We do that. We like to welcome people who come into our buildings. Do we really need an elevator that is easier to operate? Is that a part of welcome? We've had this one for years. What's wrong with it? Do we need to air condition our community room? Yeah, it's hot in the summer, but that's only 12 Sundays. I think we can manage. Why do we need to have another restroom on the first floor? The ones on the second floor seem just fine. Well, the answer to the questions is, welcome can't wait. Welcome can't wait. Have you heard that before? We want to take on these projects because we feel an urgency. We want to grow our community. We want to make our facilities more accessible, easier for all people, young and old, able-bodied and disabled. We want everybody to get around easily. We want to lessen the steps and remove the barriers so that we can use our space to its fullest. We want to welcome as many people as possible, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. There are new mission opportunities calling for us to address. These projects will make our building more hospitable, more friendly, and more functional for visitors and even for our own members. Yes, this story from John's Gospel is about us, who in this time after Easter are asked to hope again, to stretch ourselves, to look at our resources, and to put our nets down a second time. Yes, we've heard these Easter stories, we've heard about the fishermen before, but today, can this story happen here? Can there be surprising abundance here? Is this what Easter is about? Is this what Jesus promised when he said, "I have come to give life and to give it abundantly"? There is something distinctive in this story. We learn in this story that resurrection is about abundance. No longer do we need to be defined by the scarcity, which is what the world promotes. This story reminds us that the vitality of God is moving within our lives, that God can make much out of little, that God can renew our sense of defeat and disappointment. Old Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann writes a prayer to God asking, "By your giving, break our cycles of imagined scarcity, override our presumed deficits, quiet our anxieties of lack, transform our perceptual field to see the abundance, mercy upon mercy, blessing upon blessing." That's what Easter is about, breaking out of our old ways of thinking and imagining something new, something not yet here, imagining new ways of serving our neighbors and using these facilities in ways that are innovative. Let's remember those who built this church, who sacrificed and dreamed of things yet to be. We are taking what we have received from those who came before us and those who renewed these facilities some 40 years ago, and we are moving this church one step beyond to widen our welcome, to address new frontiers of mission, and to add new growth to our community. You know, Jesus had to appear again and again and again to his disciples. One time was not enough. He knew that it would take weeks for his resurrection to sink in. He knew that if his followers were to believe in the power of the resurrection, he would have to appear several times in many different places. He knew that it would take a community to continue his work, so he had to empower all of his disciples. Again and again, he encouraged them with his risen presence. Brueggemann ends his prayer with this petition. Sink your generosity deep into our lives, that your muchness may expose our false lack, that endlessly receiving, we may endlessly give, so that the world may be Easter new, without greedy lack, but only wonder, without coercive need, but only love, without destructive greed, but only praise, without aggressiveness and invasiveness. All things Easter new, all around us, toward us, and by us, all things Easter new. Jesus is here now to encourage us, to remind us that though we thought Easter was a long time ago, it is happening again, right here. We are being asked to put our nets down one more time and to experience the abundance of our God and the generosity of our people. Resurrection is what makes us unique as a people. Resurrection means we always have the ability to dream, to start over, to be forgiven, to experience grace, and to be surprised and amazed by God's work with us and among us, here, now, in this place and time. Let us celebrate with joy the resurrection. Amen.